from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-T-I. Have mercy! Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Run and a glorious sunny day. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. Really is. No clouds in the sky, just blue sky. At the base of the lovely Tatry Mountains, over here in the east of Slovakia, I'm Eric Wiltshire, and I'm trying to keep two people in order as usual. But hey-ho, that's the way life goes. In the UK, it's the whinging, whining wonder that is Lee Banks. I was trying to get three W's.
Oh, you did it. You got three W's in. That means I'm WWW, don't it?
Yeah.
I am. I've finally become one. It's raining over here, ladies and gentlemen. It keeps on raining. It's quite a nice song, that. Have you ever heard it?
No, I don't wish to.
I wasn't going to sing it, yeah.
That's all right, then.
Not that, friends.
And down in Darwin, where it's really, really, really dangerous, and bits are flying about all over the place, hang on to your skirts if you go down there, girls, it's Rachel Brunston!
Hello, it's really is. We had a mini cyclone today directly over the suburb I live in. It was torrential.
I'll tell you what, you didn't, Rach, you didn't see any blokes with comb overs out there, did you?
Why, have you been to Australia?
No.
I would really have enjoyed watching Donald Trump walk down the road. Serious.
Well, you had a bit of wind, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. We had wind issues, and normally we reserve those for my better half. But, you know, it was a windy day, and it was a prelude to our cyclone season, which is just about to begin.
Whoops. Do you know, there's only one difference between male and female in that department you were talking about, the gas department.
Yes.
And I am very envious of girls in that department, because they can do without making a sound. They go, and nobody knows.
It's the difference between methane and your thing.
I have a confession to make. I've been married a number of times, as people may know, and I put down one reason to the fact I've been married quite often is that it is written into my marriage contract that it's basically two strikes and you're out for women and downstairs apparatus flying kites. Two and they're out.
You've killed them, haven't you? You've killed them.
Anyway, let's move on. Hi to the guys over in the States. Replay Breeze. Oh, Mike, the show's... Oh, I know, we've got toilet stories today coming up. Anyway, sad news to start with. Lou Reed takes a walk to the other side. Lee.
Mm.
Tragedy. He was 71 and probably up there in the pantheon of the greatest names in progressive rock and roll music. And with a career that spanned, 50 years? 50 years, that was phenomenal. Mm. I actually interviewed him a long time ago, about 18 years ago, when he was appearing in Britain. It was a telephone interview. I didn't meet him, but the stories about him being awkward, being there with Bob Dylan and Van Morrison and people like that, for just being curmudgeonly towards the press, I found him totally different. He was a really, really gentle and nice man. But there's one thing that he did, and a lot of people have accused him of this, and I think we should put the record straight, is that people say he wrote drug songs about, extolling the virtues of heroin and things like that. He didn't. It's a complete anathema. He wrote songs about heroin, talking about the absolute abject horrors of it. And also, his most famous song, Perfect Day, one of his most famous songs, Perfect Day, it isn't about going to the park with your mother. It's about a heroin addict who come out on furlough from a rehabilitation clinic, and if you listen to that song in that vein, it takes on a whole new meaning.
So what you're telling me is the BBC had a signature tune for months and months and months all about drugs.
Yes!
Marvellous. Marvellous. Moving along, Graham Stark, the Pink Panther actor, has died at the age...
He was pink and played panthers. He was in a film called The Pink Panther.
Right.
Just thought to point that out.
Thank you very much indeed. Anyway, he's died at the age of 91, and this is a shock to the system. I don't like this. I don't like it at all. There's an auction at the Cavern. The Cavern's the famous club where the Beatles used to sing, and there was an auction of the first home of John Lennon.
Where he lived with Aunt Mimi.
He did. And this house was sold for 480, that's nearly half a million pounds.
It's a three-bedroom tourist house.
You could buy about four or five for the normal price.
Well, the actual guide price was 150,000. Well, that was fine. I know the house. I've been there. It's a 90 grand house.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Is the famous man used the bogger?
Well, I'll tell you what annoys me about all this. The bloke who's bought it, you know, fair enough, he's a Beatles fan and lives in America. No qualms with that. The trouble is, he's never going to live in it.
Oh.
Right? He's effectively blocked another young family from going into a house. The UK's desperately short of affordable housing, and yet this house has been sold for £500,000.
It's amazing. Oh. It is amazing, yeah.
No, not happy with that at all. Let
me just tell you this, right, very quickly, because we, as you were aware, I have a massive property empire, and I went out.
Yeah, two tents.
It's the owner of many dustbins.
Yes.
I've got that many houses that I'm really tense, yeah. But I went out to see a house to buy, and I can't believe it. And just compare this to it. This is a 16th century black and white wattle and daub cottage in the middle of the countryside, right, with outbuildings. It needs a lot of work. It's a grade two listed build, a grade one listed building, I think.
Uh-oh.
So we're not touching it, absolutely. But it's massive, five bedrooms, gorgeous, full of England up fireplaces, everything. It is on the market for £240,000.
Gee.
How can you compare John Lennon's ex-house to that?
I don't know how you can. Does that happen in Oz, Rach?
What?
When famous people use the bogger and things go up in price?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not many famous people live here because they go on and be famous somewhere else. But
you're
I know
famous.
That's
you
true. And But I get mates rates because I'm famous.
Oh, I see.
If I could sell the property I owned, all I'd have to do was put prisoner cell block H memorabilia all over the house, and it would skyrocket because it was I was ridiculously famous for three episodes. like you know, Tom Cruise bought a place out here when he was still married to
Nicole. Your house.
He didn't buy my house. He bought a house in Sydney, but he bought a place there because he was, you know, our favourite son-in-law. And then, of course, he did the dirty on her and we didn't like him anymore. So he sold that property, but it went for a bomb because it was his.
Right.
I've heard of him being in Sydney, haven't you, Eric?
Yeah. It's like all the Aussies, like, don't they? I'm sure they like a little bit of British in them, don't they, Lee?
Well, only a little bit, yes, because all that fosters. No, anyway.
Anyway, moving along. We're about to, ladies and gentlemen, get hold of your volume control.
Look out.
The audio levels are about to skyrocket because, right or wrong, the people charged with phone hacking who worked for Mr. Murdoch are now getting some incredibly bad press in the UK. That's one Mrs. Brooks and a Mr. Coulson, who were having Nookie as well. They have been getting some really bad press. They were having Nookie as well.
And not yet, the bear, ladies and gentlemen. They weren't having the bear.
No. And yet, governments seem to get away with stuff, and these guys are being pilloried. I just, you know, is this right or is it wrong?
Well, who would you like to start? I can finish the show on this.
Yeah, I've also got your fader. Don't worry.
Grab your muffs and put your muffs on now.
Well, if it is to fall to me to discuss this, I will do it. I think.
Rach, I'll send you the cup of tea. Don't worry.
Excuse me. I just left the room, really. Right? Yeah.
I think what's happened is quite amazing, really. And I think this really is the pillorying of the press. in such an incredible way. It's one of those times where Britain should hang its head in shame. What Rebecca Brooks and Coulson were involved in, the phone hacking of Millie Dowler's phone and a few others like that fat two jags bloke out of the government and people like that, was a bit below the belt. And they shouldn't have done it. And they certainly have taken a real pillorying for the last 18 months over this. Mm-hmm. But what's actually happened now is that they've gone to court and they are facing jail time for doing what everybody else, from the government to insurance companies across this world, are doing anyway. They did not particularly do anything that nobody else is doing. And they had as much right as anybody else to do it.
Is that the little dead girl? That was that. I don't think that was very commonplace for people to do things like that. That was really stinky pooey. That was yuck.
Well, that's what everybody says. I don't necessarily think it was that awful. I'm sure, yeah. It's, you know, a private detective, not Coulson and not Brooks, a private detective hacks
Who Dowler's phone. Who they were paying?
Who authorised it?
But yeah. He worked by himself and worked covertly. He did this action and then told the News of the World what was going on. And bear in mind, the News of the World, when this came out, did what was honourable. It fell on its own sword, and vanished. Mm. So all I'm saying is that these people are being pilloried at a time when the government is trying to clamp down on the press so that we end up with a state-run press. Being held up to ridicule. Mm-hmm. The fact that they had an affair doesn't matter. They ain't going to be bothered about the fact that the newspapers are saying they've had an affair.
Yeah, that is totally superfluous. Absolutely.
It isn't superfluous at all. It's irrelevant.
Who is shagging who? It has got nothing to do with anything.
No.
Even the judges have said it's relevant, and that's why it cuts well for newspapers. They're saying it's relevant because part of the argument in this case is to show that they had a close enough relationship to actually share secrets, and i.e. pillow talk, which is what all these stories are always about. Mm. They had time to jointly decide on what they were going to do as newspaper executives. And that's why it's being made public. Quite right, it should be made public. And so it should be made public when somebody like ridiculous, floppy-haired Hugh Grant goes and gets his peccadillos out in LA.
Which he did. So, okay, the one question I've got to, before we move on from this subject, with the government, they are voted in and voted out.
Yes.
With whatever kind of organisation, be it insurances or something like that, they are effectively regulated. Yeah. And I don't want to get into the newspaper regulation debate. I'm talking about as it is now. So you've got a government that is effectively regulated. You've got industries that are regulated. And if they get caught, they get hauled over the coals for large sums of money, or they can get fired, lose their licences, so they can't do stuff.
Yes.
You can't do that with newspapers.
Well, there is a very simple explanation to this. A, you say that people in... what we have in our democracy in the UK is a dictatorship, which we actually get to be in a position to change that dictator every 5 years. That's what we have. We have an interchangeable dictatorship. We don't have a democracy. And with newspapers, the way that's done is through voting. And people vote for the newspaper they want by buying it, by walking down the street and buying it. Mm-hmm. That is a vote of confidence in that paper. And what the government wants to do in very simple terms, and what they doing, is they are now blackmailing newspapers into taking up the terms of their so-called contract of honesty. Mm. And what they're saying is that if you do not sign up to this contract, you will then be liable for all court expenses. If anybody takes you to court, whether you win or lose, whether they are right or wrong, you will be accountable for their expenses. That is wrong.
We'll see how that pans out over the time. And as Lee quite rightly said, you have the chance to make the decision.
Yes.
If you don't want to have this sort of stuff done by newspapers, do as I did. Stop buying a newspaper.
Well,
I read about it on the internet.
Well, I always find this, I don't know, I find this really hard.
What? Oh, Eric.
I do find this really hard, because I would rather call them a digest paper.
What's a digest paper?
What is known colloquially as newspapers.
Yeah, but that's wrong. You see, newspapers, this is where people have got the whole idea of newspapers wrong. Newspapers are not, no longer, and haven't been for at least 50 years, are papers are no longer organs of record, of up-to-the-minute news records. They can't do it. They've never been able to do it. So what newspapers do is focus on exclusive areas of the news where they can actually do something that no other form of news media will do. And that's what we're good at. That's why we shine the light in the beds of the good and the famous and the rich and the criminal and the politicians and twisted doctors and bent NHS services, MPs who rip off the public through their expenses. That's what we're on this earth to do. We're not there to become another BBC World Service. We're there to dig and find out things which are interesting and exciting and potentially damaging to society.
Okay. Well, as they say, I think you can vote with your pocket money, really, can't you?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
Yeah, don't bother buying it.
And I know when you're reading my newspapers. Anyway.
which raises a good point. Go on, Rachel, you go first.
Buy his book. Don't buy the papers. Buy Lee's book.
Buy Lee's book. Which reminds me, we have been talking with Ricky Sharma on the phone several times. Mm. He's going to do an update for us next week. The reason there's been a delay, boys and girls, is this. Mm-hmm. Ricky has had to pay the hospital £10 so that they would print the documentation apropos his sister's time in hospital.
He had to pay for the chart.
Yeah.
You're joking.
That's I am
not joking.
You know, that's interesting to me. I want to tell you a little wee anecdote, and I'll make it very quick. Rob has had a medical recently for the job that he got when we got to Darwin. That's stock standard stuff in Australia. You have a medical before you go on these jobs. He has now changed, left that job, and he's going to a new job. The organisation that did this medical won't give him his medical. It is his. It's his body, as far as I'm aware.
Is this data protection?
Yeah, and I said, under the Freedom of Information Act, you allowed that. They said, we want $300 for that.
That's not data protection, then. That's just ripping you off.
Damn right it is.
Exactly right. He said, well, do you know what? I don't think I'll pay that, and I don't think I'll use you to have my next medical, but I will come down there and get the paperwork off you physically if I have to jump across the desk and do it.
Yes, well...
Good on you.
Yeah, well, the advice that you kind of went down, Rach, I did exactly the same. Ricky's now writing to the hospital in Essex, if you're paying attention out there, and he's going to ask for his money back and re-request the documentation under the Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
Right. Can I say something on this then? Because if people have been following this, will remember that Eric and I particularly were amazed that the hospital press office actually hung up on me and wouldn't talk to me.
Unbelievable.
So I think I should now contact that woman, whose name escapes me, but I will name and shame her on the air.
Yes.
When I will call them back and ask for an official comment on this.
Good. What a good idea. Yeah. Let's go back to the old hacking stories again, because Google's outraged. Oh, diddums.
I know, incredible.
What else is new?
Yeah. Mr. Google, those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, is my message, as Google has expressed outrage following a report from one of the whistleblowers that the NSA in America has hacked its data links. What are they like? What are they?
He was hacking his Gmail just a couple of weeks ago. Flies around with cameras taking pictures of everybody's house. Sorry, who was that? What?
Yeah. And I just don't understand What the thing I don't understand, Lee, about the media is they've blown this story up, and it's a non-story because everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows it happens.
This isn't a non-story, though, is it? It's a non-story in as much that the correspondents say this is not a direct denial or of the latest claims, and that's what it's based on. It's based on a bit of sort of not insecurity, based on the fact that nobody really knows what happened. And I think that it is, again, like I say, the jobs of the newspapers to highlight this as often as you can, that all this covertness is taking place behind your backs, and there's no doubt the privacy issues.
No, listen,
hang on. Newspapers are doing it, governments are doing it, insurance companies are doing it, Google's doing it, British Telecom are doing it. How many other people? The FBI are doing it. Yeah. Who else has to be doing it before we suddenly having everything we hold secret and stolen?
Right, let me explain something, girls and boys. You're now listening to RTI on your Windows phone, walking down Tottenham Court High Street, which you can do in London.
Yes.
You can walk down the road, and if you're there now, look in the shop window at all the spy equipment you can buy over the counter.
Absolutely, and it's all supposed to be illegal.
You can buy. It's not. It's
not. Get it from McDonald's.
It's not illegal to buy it. It's illegal to use it.
Thank you. So you've got there everything from a conventional 13-amp plug with a radio transmitter in it, through to, you know, something that replaces a button
on your jumper.
On your jumper, through to, you know, a typical, not I won't mention names, but branded ballpoint pen or an ink pen or whatever.
A Bic.
I didn't say that. I'm not going to say that, and he didn't mean it. So you've got so many instances of this going on that everybody knows you can go on the interweb and buy stuff. It's not a problem.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's right. Listen, there is a fallacy in your argument. There is a point where your argument just collapses. Mm-hmm. And that's very simply because, like you say, you can get this anyway. You can walk down the top of our court road and buy it, or you can go on the internet and buy it, or you can do it anywhere. The problem is, it's illegal to use it.
I know, but does that stop anybody?
Exactly. So the whole thing's illegal.
It's illegal to speed, Lee. How many people do it?
Absolutely, and you get caught and taken to jail for it.
Now, there are people that never get caught and never get taken to jail.
But it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means there is a penalty for doing it. And there is no penalty against companies, major organisations and governments doing this.
But then we get onto somebody else who's jumped on the bandwagon, don't we, Rach?
Oh, yes. Bob Carr used to be the Premier of New South Wales, and then he became a senator. And he was, after Kevin Rudd decided that he didn't want to be foreign minister anymore, Bob Carr became foreign minister. Now, he's been interviewed by ABC's Late Line, and he said that there was a safe assumption that Australia's his phone calls were being monitored by the NSA whenever he spoke to America, et cetera, et cetera. It's always been sort of assumed that the NSA, again, listen to any foreign calls that go to the White House, particularly if they're directly with the president. It's just a known thing. The NSA records just about every phone call that comes in and out of the White House. They kind of have to. Anybody who's watched The West Wing will know all about this. But, you know, it's just one of those things that they do. And it seems to be unspoken rule that it's going to be recorded. So, and who, you don't say anything too particularly dodgy. You say things that are particularly sensitive, but the NSA want to know about it in case, you know, we live in a world where people blow us up, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I agree with you, but I still don't see why. You see, really, with Bob Carr, what it is, like Eric said, he's just jumped on the bandwagon, and there's actually no proof that this has happened to him. He's just saying, look at me, this is what happened to me, maybe.
Yeah, he said, he was asked a question, and he answered it as best he said, as best he could. He just said it was, you know, it was pretty safe to assume that was going on. It wasn't a big deal.
Was this, are you in love with Bob Carr?
No, I'm not in love with Bob.
He's your boyfriend, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not really.
That's it.
He's a bit crusty for me, but...
So you know him that closely, then?
I met him at a function several years ago, and he was very kind, and we had a lovely chat. But he's a kind of an easygoing guy. He just said he was just very matter-of-fact about it. He was asked a question by a journalist, and he answered it.
I
don't think he's jumping on bandwagons. I don't think that's true. He was asked a question, and he answered it in a straightforward manner.
Right. I just think
I have no idea. Let's move on.
He said, it's a safe assumption that this was an standard operating procedure when you have a conversation with the United States of America. That's just how it works.
Why would anybody think he was important enough to have his phone calls recorded?
Because I'm guessing that Barack Obama has he's committed 3,000 troops and a new base here, because the focus now that Afghanistan and whatnot is all being sort of dribbled out, their focus now in the United States is on Southeast Asia, and they're setting up a new base here, and there's going to be 3,000 troops.
Yeah.
They're going to drop here, Darwin. I think there was conversations about that, and there's always conversations about trade with them as well, but I reckon it's about this new base.
Hang on a minute, I think we're all missing the trick here.
I think that was a very good answer. You should patronise France.
Yes, I think so. But I've just thought of a, we shouldn't be arguing about this, chaps.
Oh, why?
Well, you think...
Well,
the thing is... When you've got organisations like the NSA spending millions buying all this equipment so they can bug people...
Off the Tottenham Court or High Street.
Probably.
Yeah.
You've also got another industry turning over millions, if not billions, to debug offices as well.
Ooh.
So you've got major, major, major employment around the world, so we shouldn't stop it.
No, exactly right. It creates jobs, if anything. And I don't want people operating in the White House that aren't being monitored. If they're doing things that are questionable, I don't want that.
I think it's the same as
this is a superpower.
Right.
I don't want dodgy things going on.
No, I think it's the same as going through an airport security thing. And several times I've been going through, and people, the airport security people have said very sorry for the delay. Been very polite, and I've gone, whoa, no, I'd rather there be a delay than me going to heaven too quickly. So you carry on doing what you're doing. It's good stuff.
I think you're right, but I think there shouldn't be one law for everybody else and one law for journalists.
You're right.
They ain't going to end up in court, but the journalists do. What a load of rubbish.
What a load of rubbish.
He's ranting, boys and girls, on that happy note. We will end part one with a rant from the banks, as usual. Rant banks, 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 banks,
oh
banks,
my banks, sausage banks, just
banks,
turned
banks,
up.
Banks. We'll see you in part two, boys and girls. Don't go away.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.